In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. At every turn so far in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is being set up as the one who is like Moses, but so much greater. Jesus, in the last couple weeks that we've walked together through the text, has been preaching to this new community that he has been calling, "Follow me. Follow me to freedom and new life." And he taught them in the famous Sermon on the Mount, revealing to them the law of God in all of its fullness, the truth of what it means to be a child of God. Love your enemies had been a climactic statement. And do not worry about your lives. If you seek God's kingdom, everything in your life will be taken care of. And he had concluded by warning and challenging the group. Do not just say, "Lord, Lord," to me. Listen and obey. This is the only real foundation for life. As Jesus finished up that famous sermon, he heads down the mountain. And immediately the crowds are around him as they had been beforehand. And in this crowd, there is a man with leprosy. A nasty, destructive, flesh-eating disease. A man who was not allowed to come near other people. He pleads to Jesus, "Cure me, heal me, if you will." Jesus says, "I will. I desire to." And Jesus reaches out and touches. A forbidden action touches this disease-ridden man. And he is healed. And Jesus tells him, "Now go. Go into the city." Even though that was forbidden as a man with leprosy. "Go into the city. Find a priest. And show them as a witness, a testimony against them." That as Jesus gets into Capernaum, there's a centurion, a Roman military officer, a hated man amongst most of the Jewish people. This centurion comes up to Jesus and miraculously says, "Lord." Now, he's a Roman military officer. This was his pledge of allegiance to the Roman emperor. And yet this man comes up to Jesus, this unlikely man, and says, "Lord, my servant has been paralyzed and is in great torment. Will you heal him?" Likely this servant had been injured and on the brink of death in some sort of battle that this centurion had been leading. Jesus says, "I will." And as Jesus begins to go with this centurion to his home to find this servant, the centurion says, "No, no, sir. You cannot come into my house. I am an unworthy, violent man. You have no place under the roof of my house. And Lord, I know that you have great authority. I have heard the preaching. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. You do not need to shame yourself by coming into my home." And Jesus says, "Wow. Not even amongst God's people have I experienced such faith in the power and authority of God's word. Your servant is healed." And in that moment, his servant was rescued. Then as Jesus goes into Capernaum, which was Peter's hometown, he finds that Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. Now the people knew when somebody has a fever, you don't want to mess with them because you don't want to catch what they have. But Jesus boldly goes into the home and touches this sick woman, and she is healed. And Jesus goes around than rescuing all the people in Capernaum who were possessed by the forces of the world, what they were pinning them down, the diseases that were encasing their flesh. After these great times of healing, Jesus then tells his disciples, it's time. We are going to cross to the other side. As some men were there from the crowd, wanting to join Jesus on this great journey to the other side, a man says, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you will go. And Jesus says, do you know what you're asking? Foxes have dens, birds have nests, places to settle and be comfortable. But the true humanity, the Son of Man, has no place to lay his head. And another man who had volunteered, I will follow you, but Lord, let me first go back to my home. I need to finish up my business at home. Let me bury my dad. Let him finish his course. And when he's gone, then I can attach myself to you. And Jesus said to him, but the dead bury their own dead. You can't wait for life to come to its conclusion before you follow me. So follow me this day and let the world continue on its course. But come with me into the kingdom of God. So then they get into a boat to cross to the other side. They've been so far on the Jewish side of the Sea of Galilee, and now they're crossing to the Roman side. And as they get into the boat, Jesus falls asleep. And as they're crossing the sea, a great storm arises that thrashes the boat. The boat is literally filling with water. Their lives are in danger. And they see Jesus sleeping in the boat. So the disciples run over to Jesus and wake him up and say, what are you doing? We are going to be destroyed. We are drowning. Jesus wakes up and says, why are you afraid? You have such little faith. And that as Moses had done before him, Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, and they were controlled. Calm came upon the sea. As they get to the other side, two very violent men were blocking the road. These men did not allow anyone to pass. Jesus encounters them and throws out this foreign demon that is possessing them into a herd of pigs that charges down the bank into the sea and drowns, like Pharaoh's army had drowned in the Red Sea with Moses. The crowds see and come to Jesus and see the power of what he has just done, overthrowing these violent men that no one had been able to stand up against. And they beg Jesus, leave our region. We don't want this kind of power, and wonder if Rome sees and attacks us for what has happened. The other side. As the disciples had listened to the Sermon on the Mount about what this new Kingdom of God message was all about, I don't think they could have foreseen where Jesus was going to lead them. I think they had their own expectations, assumptions about where Jesus would lead them in their lives. The glorious visions of empires long gone. The political and economic prestige of the nations. They probably thought this was in their futures if they clung to this Jesus. And as he comes down from the mountain with the disciples on this high, thinking about this new reality of God's kingdom that's come into the world, I bet where Jesus leads them challenged them to their very core. The first encounter is with a leper, a despised, diseased man who no one wanted to interact with. And here Jesus is, touching him, embracing this man, a total outcast of society. And then Jesus is rubbing shoulders with the hated Roman Empire, a Roman military officer that the Jewish people hated. Here's Jesus saying that this man is an example of faith. No, Jesus, you're supposed to destroy Rome, not rub shoulders with Rome. And lift up Rome as an example of faith? No. And then into the home of Peter's mother-in-law, a fevered woman. We don't want to be around this. And Jesus goes in and touches her, immersing himself among the sick, the broken. And then to the other side, leaving the comforts of the neighborhood, the country, going into foreign lands with people that don't talk like us, don't look like us, don't act like us, have foreign gods and armies that we fear. And on that journey, storms, danger, real danger, their lives are at risk. Jesus, where are you leading us? This isn't the glorious places that we thought God's kingdom would lead us. Fear at every turn. Fear of the diseased, leprous man. We can't get near him. We may catch his disease. Fear of the Roman military officer. He's not one of us. He's an oppressor of our people. Fear of the fevered mother-in-law of Peter. Disease. We could catch it. And as Jesus told those disciples who wanted to follow him, don't think you're going to find comfort and stability in the kingdom of God. The true humanity has no place to lay its head. And don't think you can just conclude life as you've known it. You got to drop it right now. Let the dead bury their own dead. God's new kingdom has come. And the fear on the sea, the storm that was literally threatening their lives, the fear of the violent men on the road in Roman territory. Jesus, it's fearful everywhere you take us. Everywhere we go, we are terrified. This isn't what we wanted. This isn't what we expected. Why do we have to go to the other side? Can't we stay where we're comfortable? Jesus said to those disciples on the sea, "Why are you afraid? Why are you so afraid?" Weren't they listening to Jesus preach on the Sermon on the Mount? He had assured them that those who were poor, mourning, rejected by the world for following God's kingdom, that they would find comfort, that they would find the true satisfaction that God gives, that God would be with them. Jesus had told them in that sermon, "Don't worry about your lives. Seek God's kingdom. God has come into the world. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Do you not think that the Creator of all things can take care of you? Why are you stressing out? Why are you anxious? Why are you so scared? God's kingdom is here. The Creator has stepped into the world. He has your back. He wants to provide for your every need. He wants to protect you at every turn. If you seek His kingdom, every need of the world will be taken care of. Why are you so afraid? What is it about the world that scares you? When you know that God is on your side. As Paul would later say, if God is for us, who can be against us? Why are you so afraid? Jesus says to us, follow me. We're going on an adventure. Join me. Where we're going is gonna be scary. Touching lepers. Rubbing shoulders with the enemy. Being amongst the sick, we could catch what they have. Not having the stability and the comfort that the world offers. Having to drop the plans and dreams of our old lives to walk with Jesus today. Crossing dangerous seas of divide in our world where there is real danger. Being amongst the violent other people of our world. That's where Jesus is taking us. But God is with us as Jesus goes with us. So why are we so afraid? What going on in our world today? In the places within our city and world that we are being called to go. What is so terrifying about that? When the Creator of the heavens and the earth is with us. Saying, I will provide. I will protect. I've got your back. Follow me. It's an adventure. A terrifying one. Going into places we would have never expected, outside of our comfort zones, but Jesus goes with us. May we have the courage to hear His promise that God has our back. He will provide. He will protect. So let's venture out into the world, bold. Courageously, trusting that God is with us as we proclaim His love, His new reality to a world of pain and suffering, hatred and violence. God will go with us. Why should we be afraid? Amen.